Lord, bless this message. Thank you for giving us a voice to sing, a heart to worship. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Lead us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to sing. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to read a song to you. Right? I'm better at reading songs than singing songs. Right? And this song, I don't know if you've heard it. It's called I Will Wait for My Change. I Will Wait for My Change. And it illustrates well what I want to say tonight. Fernando Ortega, he sings it. It's a good song. Okay, here it is. It begins this way. Man is born of woman. Right? Okay, there's some biology lesson for you right there. That's the way it works. His days are few and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers and disappears like a fleeing shadow. This is a very encouraging song, by the way. If only you would hide me in the grave, and this is like Job, conceal me until your anger has passed. Then I will answer you when you call my name, when you long for the one your hands have made. Right? He's saying, that in life there is it's not always easy. And in my life, I am waiting for my change to come. In my life, it springs up like a flower, withers and disappears. And Job said this actually, if you would only hide me in the grave and conceal me until your anger is past, then I will answer when you call my name, when you long for the one your hands have made. And I think that's a beautiful picture to know, even in anguish, even in difficulty, to know that he is longing for me. It's beautiful. All the days of my struggle, here you go, I will wait for my change. I will wait for my change to come. Only do not hide your face from me. Do not take your hand away. Do not take your hand away. It probably sounds better when you sing it. I will wait for my change to come. From the dust you have made me, and to the dust I will return. Surely you will count all my steps, but will not keep watch for my sin. The falling mountains crumble away, the water airs away the stones. Its torrents wash away the dust of the earth. Only in you will I hope. I like the picture, and you can turn with me to Psalm 23. We're going to be in Psalm 23 in Romans chapter 8 tonight. The two are parallel. It's beautiful to see. We can read Psalm 23 and see their life is happening, that there are stages in it, and there is a beginning, and there is a middle, and then there is an end. But we're gonna read it, and then we'll look back at what we do, what our participation is in this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you know it, how many people know Psalm 23? All right, we could do it together. Ready? King James only. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you look at this psalm, you see in the beginning there is the understanding of the shepherd. In the middle there is a walking. And then also in the middle, in that walking, there is a fear. There is the valley of the shadow of death, and there is going through it. And then in the end, there is the understanding that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That this psalm covers our whole life, and this psalm covers everything that we go through and everything we will go through. Much like that song that says, all the days of my struggle, I will wait for my change to come. And as I, to read that part when David says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, ooh, have you been there? Are you in it? Have you felt the weight of it? I will fear no evil. Why? Because someone is with me. Okay, so let's look. In Psalm 23, David mentions himself four times. And we could say of this also that we put ourselves in that psalm. Have you ever done that? You read yourself in the Bible? The Lord is Beth's shepherd. I will not want, right? Like we read ourselves into it. And it's amazing because these are God's words to us as His sheep. So we could think that there are four things that we do in this life. And there are four steps that we take with the Lord. The end is that we are with Him in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. But we begin with understanding that He is our shepherd. We begin by knowing Him and accepting this truth and believing that He, as our shepherd, is enough. In this, the Lord is my shepherd. David says, I shall not want. Have you wanted anything in life? Yes, of course, right? Currently, you probably want something. Christmas is coming. You're getting the list ready. Right? Birthdays are coming. The kids are getting the birthday list ready. They're ever expanding. But also, as we grow, we're always wanting something, aren't we? Always wanting something. A new watch, maybe. Right? A new teddy bear, maybe. Right? We're always wanting something. A new car. Right? A new home. Right? Even something as simple as a new light bulb. Like one time, actually, the light bulb in our refrigerator went out. Right? And it's teeny tiny, very easy. One screw, light bulb, done. I didn't fix it for well over a year. Just long time. To the point that when I went to someone's house, opened the refrigerator, the light went on, I was surprised. I was like, oh, look at that. Wow. That makes a lot more sense, right? Like there is a want for something small in our life. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the material wants. Because we have those, and we will have those. And God is so faithful to supply those also. Have you found that? That when you give something over to God and you say, Lord, I want this, but, you know, I just take it. I'm consumed with the thought of it. I'm like worshiping it almost. Lord, I need You to take it. And then down the line we see maybe He gives us that thing or He meets that want. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. He takes care of His own. But this want is the want of understanding my spiritual life. And the want of knowing my destiny and the want of knowing my God. Longing for God and knowing Him. What a beautiful thing. And David's cry, the Lord is my shepherd, is like the cry of humanity. Isn't it? Like everybody wanting to know who is my shepherd. Who cares for me? Who will lead me? Who will feed me? Who will take care of me? The Lord is my shepherd. And knowing Him as my shepherd answers the biggest questions in my life. Maybe not so much the material ones, but the immaterial questions that life cannot give, that life cannot answer. Only my shepherd can answer. What am I? It's a big question. What am I? There are a lot of things that would like to tell me what I am, but only my shepherd can identify me. Because He is the one who has made me, and He does not leave me wanting in that answer, but He is crystal clear in His definition as to what I am. Who am I? Who am I? Have you asked that question? Right? Who am I? What the? Has your wife ever asked you that question? Who are you? Right? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Right? Where can I find that answer? There are plenty of options, but there is one accurate one. And that is my shepherd's answer to that question of who I am. Really, only God knows who I am. Better than I know who I am. Isn't that fascinating? Psalm 139 and then also in 1 John. When we see Him, we will be like Him. Oh, what a mystery. But what a great truth. And what a great thing to rest in. And what a great thing to believe and say, I will not want in my understanding of who I am because You have told me who I am. What am I doing? What am I doing? That's a great question. I think at some point in our lives, we come to these often. Maybe, like I said this recently, we go through these cycles and we get discontent with what we are doing. And we could ask God, what am I doing? what am I doing? Right? Or you find yourself in a situation, you say, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Right? Like I'm picking up a guitar I don't know how to play and I'm going to sing in front of people. What am I doing? No. But we have these questions. God answers this question. Our shepherd answers this question of purpose in our life. Purpose. Purpose outside of my effort. Purpose outside of my work. But purpose in worship to God. Right? The Westminster Confession says the chief end of man is to know God and to glorify Him. Simple, isn't it? Simple. Outside of knowing my shepherd, I don't know what I am doing. And in that. And then finally, where am I going? Where am I going? Oof, that's a big question. What comes after life is a huge question. What comes after death? Huge question. Answered by my shepherd. So this is what we mean when we are not lacking in anything. We're not lacking in understanding. We're not lacking in promise. We're not lacking in confidence in our Savior. We have that. I shall not want. Verse 4, the next I, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am walking. I am walking. I am saved, but I am still walking. You could say a believer shouldn't have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But we are in this world. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, yes, I'm crucified with Christ, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I still have to live. And I need to know how to live. I'm still walking in this world. I am still in contact with it. I'm mixing with it. Business, family, all these things are still a part of my life. I am walking in it. And it could be that there is difficulty and there is a valley that I am terrified of. And it's there. And I see, like I am approaching something, and it's a fearful thing. But there is a rod and there is a staff and there is comfort in knowing my shepherd is with me as I walk. We could say that I am stepping, I am taking a step by faith. I'm not taking a step by sight. Because if I were to look at the prospects or if I were to look at the situation, there is fear. But it says in Hebrews that Moses did something seeing he who is invisible. Wait a second. Seeing him who is invisible. How do I see him who is invisible? By faith. Not by sight, obviously, but by faith. And by faith we meet our shepherd, and by faith we are comforted because we know that he is with us. And there are little prompts and there are little corrections as we walk that lead us in a narrow way. And like in Pilgrim's Progress, the book, there's a point where they come and there's a fork in the road, and it says that there's like the difficult way that's narrow, rocky, and not fun to go by, and then there's the easy way. And Christian, and I can't remember who's with him at that point, Hopeful or Faithful or whatever, whoever he is, they say, well, we'll go this way. And they go the easy way and they find it's not so easy. But they go the difficult way and they find the presence of God. They find the leading of God. They find the comfort of God in it. We, as believers, walk with God. It's an amazing privilege that we don't just blaze through life on our own, but we go with God. And we expect His corrections. That was one point we talked about at the pastor's retreat, and it was great to be corrected. It was one of the major themes of the time, actually, was being corrected by God. As a believer, is God allowed to correct me? Huh? As an unbeliever, is God allowed to correct me? And a lot of people would say, no. How dare you tell me? No. But as a believer, as someone who has been redeemed, who has been bought with a price, is God allowed to correct you? It's a good question. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because His correction is gracious. It's kind, and it protects me down the road. But look what happens here. As we walk by faith in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's the third I. I will fear no evil. Where does this kind of confidence come from? It comes from an application of truth. That so much of the Bible is telling us about Christ overcoming evil on our behalf, delivering us. Pastor Donald taught a great class last night that we have escaped this present evil world. We have escaped it. By what? By the divine and precious promises that have been given to us. We have escaped. Are we able to apply those promises is the question. Is there an application to the Word of God in my life? I will fear no evil. No evil. Now, evil here, let's define it. Let's put it in context. Evil is not someone who disagrees with my opinion. Evil is not someone who sees someone something differently. That's not evil. That's amazing. That's beautiful. And the fact that we can come together with a different opinion and be okay, that's an amazing thing. But evil is that which is categorically against me. The devil has an attack and he has a campaign that is against us. It's evil. And it's evil that's not content to be on its own, but it's evil that is infectious and it wants to spread as much as possible. But we have a statement here, I will fear no evil. Oh, interesting. There's a lot of fear in the world today, isn't there? Have you felt it? Have you seen it? Yeah, absolutely. It's everywhere. I've felt it. I have been in fear. Actually, this past weekend, when we were at the retreat, one pastor spoke to me and it helped me and delivered me from fear. It was so good. I said, oh man, thank you. It was like a refreshing. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you. I needed it. But there is fear and we don't live in fear. Please don't live in fear. Be wise. Take a step by faith, but don't live in fear because we are called not to. And, you know, we have our own convictions and our own responsibilities through these times, and we take care of them. But please don't let the motivating thing be fear, but allow the motivating thing to be the presence of God, to be the wisdom of God. And He will tell you He is faithful, where to be, what to do. That is God's work. And He's not like inconvenienced by you bringing your request to Him. Like imagine if we say, God, I'm terrified of this little thing. It seems small in everybody else's eyes but mine. Will you listen to me? Imagine if God came to us and said, please, that's nothing. Forget about it. I don't have time for that. All right, come to me with a real fear. No, but He meets His sheep where they are. And He sits with us and He leads us. So be led by God. Apply truth to your life and allow Him to lead you. And that how that looks for you. What is bigger than God? What is bigger than our shepherd? What is more powerful than what He has done? Nothing. Nothing. There isn't a single thing created. Isn't that interesting? It's all been created. Can the created thing be better, bigger than the Creator? Maybe like a YouTube algorithm could be bigger than the Creator, but that's not what we're talking about. God's creation cannot overcome Him. That He is not defensive, He is not concerned, He is not intimidated, but He has overcome it. And He calls us into the application of that truth. Fear no evil. And we could say there is the little fears in life. Yes, those are there. And we walk through those things by faith. But there is the evil that is intimidating and that wants to come at me and push me to the margins. I spoke with a guy today. I said the number one tool of the devil, like he's got his little Swiss Army knife of tactics, like number one, fear. Fear. Anxiety. Fear. Those are like the two top tools of the devil. And he uses them with great precision. Don't be condemned if you have fallen, you have been in fear, but be encouraged by this truth that He has overcome the devil. And no fear can overtake me. No evil can overtake me. And then finally we get down to verse 6. The fourth I says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amazing answer to the last question we asked. Where am I going? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we have these four things happening. These four the participation that we have is these four things. That there is a responsibility, there is a human element to our faith, and there it is. That will I be satisfied with Christ? Will I walk by faith? Will I apply the Word of God and not fear? And then do I believe that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? There it is. But the rest of the psalm, every sentence in the rest of the psalm is the responsibility of our shepherd. There is the human responsibility, human element, but then there is the responsibility of our shepherd. And that fills up the rest of the psalm. And it is amazing to see what he does, right? It says in verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And isn't that a peaceful scene? This is where we want to live, isn't it? We want to be where the green pastures and the still waters and refreshing and eating. But there, the truth is that in this struggle, like this song says, in this struggle, there is the valley of the shadow of death. So he prepares me for the valley, and it is his responsibility to lead me to the right food and to lead me to the place of water and to lead me to the place of rest. Will I follow him? Will I walk with him? Could it be that in my faith I look for the answer, I look for the solution too often without considering the source? Like I'm out there on my own, kind of cavalier, lone wolf. I heard a gentleman say that to me today, that Christianity is not a lone wolf game, right? I could be out there and I could say, hey, where's the grass? Hey, where's the water? Where's the rest? And the shepherd is back there saying, I am leading you. Like, follow the shepherd if you want the refreshment. It is in the shepherd. It's not in the grass itself. It's not in the water itself, but it's in the shepherd and where the shepherd brings me. He takes the responsibility and he calls me to recognize him and to follow him. And as I do, I find myself fed. And there's times in our life that are peaceful. Hallelujah. Like David. David had times in his life where he was peaceful. He got in trouble in that time, by the way, right? We find these times of peace and they're beautiful. Enjoy them. Don't feel guilty. It's like that idea of survivor's guilt. How come I'm not going through a difficult time? There must be something wrong with me. No, enjoy it. Right? Enjoy it because the valley's coming. You know it. Something's coming. So allow your shepherd to lead you in this time of peace. He restores my soul. It's his work that restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is righteousness. There is truth. Hallelujah for righteousness, clarity, definition. He leads us in it. He doesn't require it from us. Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Hallelujah. It does not say the righteousness of the law is fulfilled by us, but instead in us, by our shepherd, by Christ. And he leads you in that. Righteousness aside from our shepherd, righteousness without Christ is my own righteousness, and it does not have any value. Isaiah 64 describes it quite vividly. It's filthy rags. So he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, his responsibility, right? And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me, his responsibility. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a great understanding to have. Our prayer a lot of the time is remove me from this situation. Change the facts, change the things that are happening. Lord, you could fix all of this. But a lot of times his answer is open your eyes and observe the feast that I have prepared before you in the presence of all of this. That as you go through everything you're going through, God is providing and God is encouraging, God is feeding, and God is working something into your life and spiritual maturity. So walk. We like to look at the situation and complain. We do that really well, don't we? How many good are good complainers? Right? Oh yeah, we're top-notch complainers. How about we observe the table that is prepared before us in the presence of our enemies? Pastor Paul Andrelonis shared a thought when we were up in PA, and he said, the in-between time, like meeting God in the in-between time. And he's saying, you know, as a young person, you are waiting to get to high school. But what about the time that you are living? And then once you're in high school, your goal is to get out of high school, right? I think my goal as soon as I got into kindergarten was say, how long does this last? Right? 12 years? Are you kidding me? Right? 13 if I'm, I got to get on it. But if I am constantly living for the next thing, I miss the thing that God has prepared for me. Right? The next stage of life, retirement is on the horizon. My career, the best time to have a family. I remember when Jess and I were praying and we were wanting to start a family, there's this woman in our church in Silver Spring. She was Brazilian. This family was amazing. Yeah, Brazilian. Huh? Mario Fernando Ortega? Yeah. And amazing, this Brazilian family, the first interaction I had with Brazilians. And it prepared me for moving up here. And amazing, sweetest people. And they moved back to Brazil. But we were talking with the husband and wife, and we say, yeah, we're praying for the right time, the perfect time. We got this and this and this and this. And she just started laughing. Yeah. They had like 3 kids and she was pregnant. And she was like, I'll tell you one thing. There's never a good time. It's never the perfect time. Like it's never, the situation will never be just right. And if I am always looking for the things to be all lined up, I will always be missing the things that God has prepared. And that was delivered. We were both just like, okay, hallelujah, right? 9 months later, Riley was here. Right? But God is faithful, and He meets us in the things that we're in, and He doesn't want to. Like, no situation is just by chance. No situation is just to get to the next situation. But each thing is ordained by God, and He leads us, and He prepares us, and He feeds us. Will we open our eyes and apply the Word of God and look and say, oh my gosh, look at that. God is faithful. And then come through each experience knowing God in a different way. It's necessary. Okay. He prepares it in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. He anoints me and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Who, 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. He is all the days of my life. There is no blip on the radar. There is no interruption in the fellowship or in the relationship. The fellowship might have a little blip, but the consistency of me being held by God does not change. And then once it gets to it, and then finally, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why am I dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? Because He saved me, because He led me, because He guided me in every single step I took. And when I failed, He picked me up. When I thought I myself was gone, He pulled me back in. It is the work of God that has brought me to the understanding that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is the work of His grace that compels me to say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it persuades us. It persuades us. And I had a whole thing in Romans chapter 8 that is parallel with all of these verses in Psalm 23. The two chapters go together hand in hand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is therefore now no condemnation. Like the connection is there. That whatever condemnation brings into my life is answered by me being satisfied with the work of Christ at the cross. And not wanting more, but being content with His work, there is now no condemnation. I will walk. It says in Romans 8:1, I walk according to the Spirit. Romans 8:13, I live according to the Spirit. Romans 8:24, I hope. My hope is not according to what is seen, but my hope is according to what is not seen. I will fear no evil. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes on to list 17 things that could be against us. 17 things. And then the last one, you know what it is? Any other thing. Any other thing that you can think of that I didn't think of, that isn't able to take you away and separate you from the love of God. And his conclusion is, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And he says it, we'll read the last two verses, Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am persuaded. That is what our shepherd wants to do. He wants to persuade us. And how does he persuade us? He persuades us with the work of his grace. And he calls us not to do everything, but he calls us to recognize him and to say, I have no want. He calls us to walk by faith. He calls us to fear no evil. And he calls us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That persuades me. And all of those things that he calls me to do, he fills it all in with his work. He accomplishes everything and he delivers me to heaven. Hallelujah. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing, because anything that is created by him and it is under his feet and there is no reason to fear. But none of it shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, be persuaded by His grace. Be persuaded by His work. Take that step of faith. And they say it's blind faith. Oh no, there's nothing blind about it. There's nothing blind about it. You might not see it, but my God is there. He is faithful. And He has proven Himself over and over and over and over again. He has persuaded me, therefore I will take that step. And there is a valley of the shadow of death in front of me, but I will not fear the evil, because His rod and His staff, they comfort me. And the table that He has prepared before me is always feeding me in the middle of it. So I'll walk by faith. And then I'll walk by faith until what? Until I dwell in the house of the Lord forever and my faith is complete. What a beautiful history. What a beautiful future that we have, walking by faith. Enoch, you know the story of Enoch? You know what it says about him? He walked with God and then he was not. Like, how simple? How simple is that? What was Enoch's theology? What was Enoch's blah, blah, blah? I don't know. He walked with God. And one pastor said it in Baltimore a couple years ago. What's his name? Pastor Ganesh from India. He's this powerful character. He works in the slums of India. His whole ministry is there. He's an amazing guy. He says Enoch walked with God, and then he talked with God, and God said, hey, you're closer to my house than your house. How about you come home? And he said, okay, and that was it. We are that way. We walk by faith until our faith is complete, and then we're with him forever. This is the beauty of our faith. Christ has done everything for us. Our shepherd has laid everything out there. And we could say, yes, there's all the days of my struggle. And we could be like Job and say, would you just bury me until you call me to be alive? And he says, you know what, Job? Get up. Get up. I have something prepared for you. Yes, you are in a terrible time. Yes, you're going through it. And people for the rest of time will compare difficulty to your life. That's how bad it is, Job. Imagine that. Have you ever gone through that time where the rest of humanity will compare their bad situation to yours? That's pretty bad. But get up, Job. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to tell you who I am. And as a gentle, loving shepherd, I will feed you. I will provide for you. I will correct you graciously. And I will lead you into a great blessing. Recognize me. And Job does. The closing chapter of Job sums it all up. He sums it up. He says, okay, this is it. Okay, I'm done. I'll close my mouth. I'll stop complaining. I'll stop analyzing. I will worship you. I will walk by faith and I will anticipate your faithfulness despite what I see. I won't fear the evil, but I'll continue by faith. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness to us. And from generation to generation, we can see your faithfulness, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for those who are newly saved, you are starting a new trend in your family. Hallelujah. You have that freedom. You have that power. You have that ability because of your shepherd. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody listening who's never received Christ, you've never been made new, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come, save me, deliver me. Give me the gift of eternal life. And if you've said that prayer, please let us know some way, somehow. Amen.